welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where today we have a new initiative that we're trying here, and it's going to be an audio diary of a spring break trip to Tehachapi, New Mexico. One of the opportunities you have as an Indiana Bible College student is to take a spring break, and while everyone else in the world is out partying and doing all sorts of crazy things, we at Indiana Bible College are training young men and young women for ministry. Part of that means getting their hands dirty. One of the opportunities to get your hands dirty as a student, so to speak, in ministry is this spring break trip to Tehachapi, New Mexico. Brother Martin Eastridge pastors the Tehachapi Church there on the Navajo Nation. And the Navajo Reservation spans about 17.5 million acres and touches four states. And this spring break, there was a group of IBC students that went there to minister at that church. And what we have today is an audio diary of that, and we hope you enjoy.
Yeah, I'm Jim Sliva, teacher at Indiana Bible College, and I teach particularly in the area of urban missions, kind of my heartfelt passion. I tell the students a lot of times before they leave on a trip, look at yourself in the mirror and realize just before you leave that when you come back, you will not be the same person. Students, and that is to not just have only a classroom lecture and information passed on, because I think sometimes students don't even perceive what the questions or the challenges are going to have, and so it's kind of nice to know or feel what the questions are before you have people giving answers. And so by taking students on trips where they actually are participating in ministry, and they're not only hearing what you said was a need and what can be done to help them move closer to the gospel and to know Jesus Christ, but to actually feel what it feels like to be there, to realize there are people that struggle with suicide or addictions, and to understand that, okay, this does not look like Indianapolis where the school is at. This is in the middle of nowhere, and there is not all the recreational facilities to keep yourself entertained. I think when you actually perceive the needs and to realize that Jesus loves them, they are very valuable, precious people. And you can build a relationship and know them by a name, not just that there are those kind of people somewhere in the world, but I've met them and I talked to them. I've heard them share and see them cry a tear together and whatever. That changes your whole, how deeply it can impress your spirit and your soul to really grasp information.
Hi, my name is Jillian Kidder. This would be my first time traveling like 24 hours straight. So that was intense to say the least. And it just kind of felt like we were on a nonstop, like just napping. Like you'd wake up and, you know, you're like, okay, I'm in Texas now. But it was a lot of fun. I was blessed with a great car and they had a lot of fun. One thing that I put in my journal, and I think this applies to both of the church services that we went to, was that the Navajo worship to me just, it feels and like looks so pure, that these people, they just, I don't know, they don't have to, their service was very, in our words would be unorganized, as far as, you know, we're used to, okay, you know, you practice and you go over the song set and all that stuff, but at both services, they had people from their church lead worship, and the second church we went to in Newcomb, they had like a Navajo songbook, and it was really cool because they like worshipped in their native tongue.
It's almost interesting how I first got involved in the going to Tehachapi, which is the Indian reservation in New Mexico. I started out with realizing that, of course, I lived 15 years in Germany, but that was another whole world, and I wanted students to realize that the rest of the world is not like America. And but to try to fly a bunch of students to Germany would cost a fortune. So the idea was, where can you get the same flavor of a foreign field here in America? And I was talking to Brother Daniel, who was our executive vice president at the time. He said, well, you know, I would like to suggest the place I've been to. He says, in New Mexico is the Indian Reservation, Navajo Indian Reservation. So they live very differently, do not have running water. They don't group up together like Americans do in major urban cities. They often are spread out in a desolate area. There's no running water. They may have a wood-fired oven. They heat up the brick to bake their bread in and stuff like that. So without running water, consistent electricity and stuff, it's another whole world.
My name is Jane Claire Turner. I am a senior at Indiana Bible College.
This is your first trip.
And this is my first time on the Tehachapi trip. I think it really is true. They said before we came here that it is kind of like going to a different country. And I definitely feel like that is accurate in some ways. Just how, like, when you come on the reservation, it's like there's no influence of, like, America anymore, really. Like, the billboards are gone. There's no businesses. There's just, like, land and, like, a few houses scattered places, which I think is interesting, and it really reminds me of some places that I've been across the country and the world, so it is really interesting.
All the things that we think all people of all times have always had, which we just kind of, we don't maybe think about the fact that probably Jesus didn't have running hot water. I mean, if you think about it, yeah. But in reality, does the rest of the world live like Americans? Nope. So to have that experience of what it's like to minister in a foreign country, that would probably be the closest thing to it. So Brother Daniel suggested, like, why don't you try going to take a group to the Indian Reservation? And we did. We had to work with translators on Sunday morning. They spoke a language I couldn't even figure out how to say it when I read it. But to see their intensity for prayer, the things that really in every culture are going to carry over, your love for God, the need for prayer, the basics always stay the basic no matter what culture you're in.
My name is Josh Ogle. This is my second year at IBC, and this is my first time ever going to the New Mexico Tehachapi trip. I would say the first thing that stuck out to me is the hunger that is clearly here. It's something like I've never seen before. It seems like every person that's been a part of the church, both churches that we went to here in Tehachapi and in Newcomb, there was just a hunger. There was a devotion there. There was a seriousness there and a major love for worship.
Then my first trip was probably in the early 90s. And I fell in love with the place because it definitely had a foreign flavor feel. It took you totally out of your comfort zone. It made you really analyze, okay, so what is really American culture and what is really biblical principles that we need to keep. So our first trip there, I had a chance to work with Brother Eastridge now. Brother Jerry Eastridge, who is now the bishop, was the pastor at the time. And probably people might know him because his sister is Sister Nona Freeman.
My mother was a United Pentecostal church preacher. And she built churches in Clovis, New Mexico, Portales, New Mexico, Rock Springs, Wyoming, Blackwell, Oklahoma, and Raymondville, Texas. And then came to the Indians in 47. She started Bible studies in Gallup in 47 and also out at Newcomb. My mother had just come back from South Africa, and we went to a special meeting in Hardin, Montana. And that was the last week in December of 64. I took my last drink December the 28th, 1964. And then God began to deal with us to come down here. I had the same dream quite often. You see, I'm a little different white man. I was adopted into the Anaya family, into the Laguna tribe when I was 12. I was the VIP at a feast, and I got to eat the sheep's eyeball because I was the VIP, they adopted me into their tribe. Today, at this funeral Monday, there was a lot of my kin folks there, they count me just as much as blood relation. So, in a way, Rose Anaya, my mother Laguna way, was in her coffin. She had her hand out. She said, "Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? It's too late for me." But I didn't want to come here. I was pastoring a good church and go down below the bridge and get my limit and trout and get my sermon in the same spot. And I like pretty green Montana. And I told the Lord, I was praying on Saturday morning, and we were in revival. Had an evangelist preaching, and we were in revival, and I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, you talk to Abraham. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. I want you to talk to me. I'll go if you tell me, but I want you to talk to me out loud." So I was praying, and my living room lit up. And then I was praying in the dark, and that picture that is on the right as you go down the stairs, going back into the main church, that picture was in my living room floor, and it said United Pentecostal Indian Church headquarters, Tohatchee, New Mexico. Fingers going out, and at the end of each finger there was a little building that said UPC on top. That's one of the many reasons I know the United Pentecostal Churches of God. And the Lord spoke to me audibly, out loud. He said, "You go and I'll build." That was on Saturday morning. I resigned Sunday night. We resigned, and within 30 days we were here.
In that time that he's been there, it's a whole different spiritual culture or spiritual environment you're in. The people are very, I will use the word, superstitious. The medicine man is still very much looked up to and respected. And you feel a lot of spiritual oppression and weirdness that you wouldn't feel in other places in America. And because of that, it's essential that you have to be praying and tuned in to be able to spiritually survive the feeling of oppression or defeat or all kinds of other stuff. And so I think the Eastridges have a very good grasp on the necessity for prayer, because you're not going to make it because of somebody else's prayers before you, or because the choir could sing really good, or great music program and a great preacher, and you're riding everybody else's coattails. It's a matter that, man, it's a hardcore spiritual warfare zone, and everybody just has to pray. But what's cool is they have a church that absolutely believes in a half hour before church starts, you're going to be there to pray, because you're not going to survive otherwise. I don't care who you are. And they have a beautiful way of just waiting on the Lord. It really does boil down to praying, focusing on God, and really seeking His face. And I mean, He shows up when you do. Just the powerful services and tremendous waves of God's Spirit just flowing over the people, and they would just love just to be in His presence and worship. Was quite inspiring, and it would appear that all the things we think, more in a carnal way, we might think are necessary to have a good service, they didn't have, but man, they had powerful moves of God because they understood prayer and just preaching the Word of God. And so I think it becomes very valuable for our students to understand that as well, that, you know, we might have a lot of talent and a real loud PA system and a number of other gifted speakers and things available to us on social media and whatever, but that we'll never be able to replace the power of prayer and a relationship with God and preaching the plain gospel.
The culture where we're from, everything's pretty planned out. Not in a bad way. Like, we're very organized, and I mean, we still let the Spirit move, like, in our chapel services. Like, you know, we allow the Holy Spirit to move how you know, God wants to. But it's just kind of in a different way, like, within a structure. Like, with chapel and stuff, we always have to go to our classes afterwards. And, like, at church and stuff, we have our jobs that we have to end up going to and keeping mindful of time and hungry people. But, like, here, it's not been super structured. Like, we just go into the service, and I know on Sunday, we didn't even really know how the church, like, structured their services. And before we went up and sang, JD was just like, yeah, so we're going to do this, this, and this. And the pastor got up, and they sang some songs in Navajo, and it was really cool. And then they just kind of let us go for it. So we just, you know, went with the way the Spirit led us. And it was actually really, really impactful.
When you're on a mission trip, everybody will be involved in some way. We basically have two different cities we're reaching on Sunday with a morning and an evening service. So you have four services on Sunday that we're trying to cover. You have you get Monday off to breathe and get over your travel sleepiness. Tuesday, you're hitting it again with a Bible study. Next church is on Wednesday. Got one there too. A third service in another city on Thursday. Friday, there's usually a youth a rally where there's several churches coming together for a main focus. Sometimes on Saturday, we've had opportunity to go to a chapter house or to some outreach event. And then Sunday morning, you're hitting it one more time before driving the road and driving a ridiculous 1,500 miles of, like, 1,500 miles. I was trying to think, how do we do that in 22 hours? Anyway, you got a lot of, it's crazy. The schedule is like back to back to back to back. And I skipped the part where we took a little time to take in a little culture and hike to the bottom of Chaco Canyon and look at some Indian ruins and whatever else. So that is one cram trip. I guess it's kind of a little bit maybe like Navy SEALs in the military. You're pushing yourself beyond what you think your limit is. But I want students to realize that you do have a lot more capacity than you think you do. Now, some of these are going to be seniors and some of these will be freshmen. And every one of them will be up there either testifying or sharing the thought or interacting with people, praying with people in the altars, whatever. It's like no one gets to sit and observe. It's all hands on deck. And it's not just, I only prayed for a couple people in an altar service. In most cases, you are on the platform having to seek God and say, I got to prepare. What is my theme? What's my message? What's my testimony? What can I give these people to help move them closer to the Lord? So you're feeling intense. We're not the best musicians that go on this trip. We have almost a joke about that. That it seems like some of us are on the very low end. But yet we'll all be part of the worship team. And so a lot of people who think that I got the worst voice and can't even hold a tune in a bucket, I should be in the back row singing bass in a choir somewhere where you can't even see me or hear me, end up being with a microphone in their hand. And it's like you just can't move your lips and pretend like you're singing. You may not be exactly on tune, but you can worship God with all your heart. So that pushing beyond all your limits. So are we real smooth and polished and look good? I agree, we're not. However, does God show up because we realize we desperately are swimming and we're praying and interceding and crying our guts out because we need God and we realize it's not about us, it's all about Him? Man, God shows up in powerful ways because of that. And so I think when the students are driving on their way back home, they realize, like, wow, there's so much more that we could shoot for if we're just willing.
I want, like, my horizons to be broadened and to, like, get out of my comfort zone. Whenever we were just in those little shops, there was a little painting, and it was just really tiny, probably, like, 3 inches by 3 inches. Like, it was really tiny, and it just said, oh, no, I forget the quote. It said, nothing good ever comes from your comfort zone or something like that. So, like, I just want my comfort zone to be broadened so that, like, you know, I don't put limits on, like, what God can do through me, I guess. Because, like, God can do anything and He can use anyone. But sometimes we limit what God can do through us by how comfortable we are with, like, what's going on.
Hi, this is Sister Caitlin Brzezinski. Yesterday we had a really amazing service, and the night before we had our praise team practice, and we prayed, and there's just a heavy burden that fell on us, and the prayer just turned into a big prayer meeting, and God really did some amazing things. And so we knew that God was going to do something. We didn't know what, but we knew that God was going to be there and do amazing things. And so the next day we traveled around and went to the Navajo Museum and Capitol and prayed there for the nation, that God would give favor to the church in Tehachapi. And so when we were at their museum, there was something that really caught our eye, and it was this dream catcher, and it was made out of recycled cans of beer bottles and alcohol and different things, and instead of like the feathers and things that hung down, it was chains. And the inscription beside it was, "I was formulated of recycled materials to make a statement. This art is an expression from my heart and soul, a self-explanatory of the conflicting ideas of alcoholism and tradition. Say no to alcohol and drugs, my people." And so I thought that this just put the whole culture and the things that the people have been struggling with, and that they're under bondage and all these things, and that this kind of just summed it up and just gave us a really deep burden for the people and things that are having them bound. And so anyways, we got to service and started out the worship service, and God just took over, and it just turned out into a blowout service, and the Lord really moved, and I believe that chains were broken and that people had hope, and there was people that prayed through that haven't prayed through in a long time, and people got the victory over things.
So Saturday night, as we were overlooking the city, or the town of Tehachapi in the Navajo Nation, it was late at night, and a bunch of us went up there, and you could see all the stars, all the city lights, town, just the home lights, and you could see as far as Gallup and Farmington. And one thing that Brother David Eastridge said, Pastor Eastridge's son, he said that, look at all those lights, and for every light, that's one house and that's one family.
My name is Laysan Sumner. I've been on the Tehachapi trip 4 times. Every single year that I've been on the Tehachapi trip, it's impacted my life in a different way. But the burdens that it exposed while I've been on the trip is probably the thing that's impacted me the most. I never realized how much people in the world don't actually know the name of Jesus. So within that, it just exposed a huge burden for America.
Their contribution to us is teaching us what are really the basic fundamentals of apostolic ministry. How essential is prayer, and can you do this? And it offers an excellent learning environment, which is in some ways more engaging than just a classroom, in many ways, to be able to have our students be there, be a part, and do an internship type thing, or even if they would go there and teach some lessons there and that type of thing, to realize we are brothers together and we can share the experiences God's given to us, can be just a tremendous highlight of celebration and what Jesus Christ can do. I tell the students a lot of times before they leave on a trip, look at yourself in the mirror and realize just before you leave that when you come back, you will not be the same person. You will be a different person when you come back. You will not stay unchanged. And you will never be able to, once you get stretched, you'll never be able to resume and shrink back to the same size you were. You might try to live the same way you did, but you'll be very frustrated because you realize you've been stretched into the whole level.
A special thanks to Pastor Martin Eastridge and his wife, Sister Cindy Eastridge, for hosting us. Also, thank you to Bishop Jerry Eastridge for giving interviews, and Brother Sleva for overseeing the Tehachapi trip and giving an interview here. A big thanks to IBC alumni Lauren and Ashley Pretty, who helped host the group to Tehachapi, as well as all of the church who helped make our trip special. Thank you for all you do in partnering with IBC to make an impact on tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. And now, it's only fitting to give our final word to the Bishop of the Tehachapi Church, Brother Jerry Eastridge, who's captured here admonishing a group of students.
He's a good God, just in case you didn't know it. That's the God you represent. And you're not just somebody. You are somebody. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Don't forget it.
Students who travel on trips like this over spring break often do so, actually always do so, at their own expense. And so if you're interested in partnering with Indiana Bible College to help make this opportunity available to more students of traveling on a spring break trip, email us at msa@go2ibc.com. That's msa@go2ibc.com. If you enjoyed this little audio diary of the Tehachapi trip, I encourage you to check out our Facebook page. We've got a video that recaps the trip there as well. You can put some names and faces together. We look forward to continuing to hear your feedback. Podcast@go2ibc.com. God bless.